Checkpoint Intimates.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Intimates. We are your weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get intimate on a particular gaming topic. My name is Elliot. I'm joined by Sav.
Hello.
Hello. How are we?
Oh, good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good, actually. So this week on the show, we wanted to talk a bit about the Steam review board, as well as just kind of community reviews in general and their kind of place in the industry. And the reason this has popped up for me is because I kept seeing this news story buzz about where apparently Beat Saber has become the seventh highest rated game on Steam of all time, which is an awesome achievement. Obviously, there are, what, like tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions of games on Steam.
Millions of games.
So that's a big achievement to climb that high up the leaderboards. And specifically, we're talking about games here rather than like the films or the DLC and stuff they have on Steam. And this is all just tracked via the Steam website. You can just go search for games and rank by community reviews. And what it'll do is you can either vote a game as being positive or negative. And if there's an overwhelming amount of people or a percentage of people who say this game is positive compared to negative, then it just tracks up that kind of list. So it's a cool achievement for Beat Saber. Have you played this game? Because I definitely have.
Beat Saber, yeah.
How good is Beat Saber?
I was instantly surprisingly good at it. I like surprised my partner and his brother when I tried it out at their place. It's just because I played a lot of like Dance Dance Revolution when I was younger. It's so good.
You got the boogie in your soul.
Yeah, it's so reactive and it is just DDR with your arms.
So what Beat Saber is, if nobody's seen a video of this is a game where you're in virtual reality. You've got these blocks moving towards you and you've got these sabers in your hands, which are the kind of pro control move controllers or whatever they end up being. And the blocks will come towards you and you've got to kind of slash them depending on the color of the saber in your hand and also in the direction that is kind of printed on the block.
And it's all in time to different music tracks.
Exactly. And it's got this awesome like kind of beat going behind it and it gets very fast and very frenetic very quickly. Multiple difficulty levels, some songs are set to specific difficulties. And I remember playing this and going straight to hard.
Yeah.
And going, oh, I actually have the rhythm of this. This feels good. Like, this feels fun. I feel like I'm in control. And then I bumped it up to expert, and I was just lost. I'm like, this is impossible.
Yeah.
Who does this game? Like, but unbelievably fun.
Great exercise as well.
Oh, yeah. You were sweating by the end of, like, a couple of songs. You'd be like,
yeah, pretty
help
much.
Me. But I think it totally deserves this kind of mantle that it's getting and this recognition on Steam. And I think it deserves it because, for me, it's the best VR experience I've ever had.
Yeah.
I think a lot of VR games, rather than trying to work with the actual platform and work with that kind of new technology, they're instead having the old style of games and trying to make the technology work for that.
Yeah, definitely.
Whereas Beat Saber, everything feels perfect. Like, there's no awkward movement. There's no awkward anything.
You know exactly where you are as well. I have no motion sickness playing Beat Saber because everything matches up.
It feels so natural. And because it is that kind of rhythm game, it's so, like, the rhythm is in you. And you just move to the beat and it feels so, like, good and real. And it feels better than, I'm going to say, it feels way better than something like Just Dance or those kind of games that track you.
Yeah.
Because you're not being tracked here. You're actually in it. It is you. You're literally in this device.
Yeah, you're manipulating
it feels so good to play. So it's awesome that it's crept this high up. And it's still in early access.
Yeah.
So this is the kind of game that potential has more like traction and it can gather more steam and continue to kind of, you know, wow people, I guess.
It's also really exciting that a VR game has climbed that high.
Oh, yeah.
Especially because it's also one of the most recent ones up that high. Like, the other games up on the, like, top rated are all 2016, 2012. There's, like, some 2014s in there. This is one of the most recent. And it's just nice to see VR doing well. Like, I love virtual reality, but so often it just doesn't get any kind of recognition because it's quite
expensive. It's still
expensive
niche. Yeah, it's still, like, there's not every gamer has a VR headset.
Yeah.
I don't have a VR headset. The way I've played these kind of games is at events or at friends' houses.
Yeah.
Right? Because for me, I'm like, I love it. I love the technology, but I also know for a fact that you need the room.
Yeah.
Like, you need to have it set up. You need like, space. A space for it. And if you're not using it frequently enough, then you're not utilizing that space. All of a sudden, you've set aside space for something that's not being used.
Yeah.
So, I think that was the big problem for me, and I think it's maybe the big problem for other people as well, because I know I'm such a PC gamer that I know for a fact I'm more likely to be on my PC sitting in my chair playing with my mouse and keyboard than I am to be in VR. VR yeah. seems like a party game and every now and again kind of thing, and that's not quite enough to encourage me to purchase.
Yeah.
But if I was to purchase, Beat Saber would be the first thing I buy.
Yeah, and it'd probably be one of the first things you review. So, like, the Steam one is based on user reviews.
Yeah.
Not like how many times it's been bought kind of thing. Which I think is quite good because it is community moderated. But then you do have instances where people are like, I really don't like this game, so I'm going to go on Reddit and get everybody to dislike it.
Yeah. So review bombing is a huge thing when it comes to community-based reviews. And we see it on Steam all the time. And sometimes it's not even justified.
Yeah.
Like a developer, for instance, will have an update to their game. And this happened recently where I wish I remember the exact specifics, but it was one of those kind of like historical kind of tactical games.
Oh, I know the one you're talking about.
Mm, you think while I explain.
Yeah.
And basically what happened was they had an update to the game and somebody took to Reddit or one of those kind of communities and said, this is ridiculous. In this patch, they've increased female generals to a ludicrous degree because you can, like, your generals will spawn and you can, like, use them in the game. And for the most part, they were male generals because it went for that historical accuracy.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, people were reporting more females. So the game got absolutely...
Total War. That was the one.
Thank you. Total War. The game got absolutely review bombed. And all of a sudden, it went from this very positive kind of review score to quite a negative one. And then the developers had to come out and say, actually, we didn't change anything. Yeah. Like, you believe that this change has been made, but it hasn't. And there's no proof to this. Like,
They also just had to come out and be like... This game is not about historical accuracy, and even if it was, women exist.
It was very odd. It was, like, the whole situation was super odd, but it happens time and time again, sometimes justifiably. Hmm. Like, let's be honest, when a developer or a publisher changes their game, maybe they add microtransactions, maybe they do something that actually feels really annoying and
they
players hate it.
They fundamentally alter what they sold you.
Then fair enough. Players should be able to say, actually, I no longer like this experience. Negative review, suddenly the game changes its score. But I guess that's the big problem. It's the big positive and the big negative for user-generated reviews because they are so different from like a publication review, because if we were to review something, our score's not going to change.
No.
I know some publications have the resources to be able to adapt their score and change their score.
Or retroactively like edit it.
Yeah. But even those places... Like, once those scores are submitted to places like Metacritic and these review aggregators, those scores never change.
Yeah.
So, a lot of the time, like, it's not a very evolving platform. But user reviews, absolutely.
Yeah.
So evolving. Like, every day, there are new reviews coming up, and that changes the swing of things.
Yeah.
Do you like user reviews? Are they helpful to you?
Would
you ever look at a user review and make the decision whether you want that game or not?
I can honestly say that I have bought many games that have had very unfavorable reviews on Steam and gone ahead and bought them and loved them anyway.
Yeah.
I don't think for games it's a particularly helpful thing because games are so subjective on if you're going to enjoy it or not. Like, I've seen games that have gotten, like, tons and tons of negative reviews because there's been a gay person in it and they had to interact with a gay person. And so they voted it down. And you just start to see the weirdest stuff coming out of, like, Steam reviews. Like, I saw one the other day which was, like 1,000 hours on record and they just, like, gave it a thumbs down with no comment. And it's like, how did you play that much if you don't like it? Or it's like, it'll be a thing of it's just okay. And it's like, you've played so much. Does Steam give you the option to review games you haven't bought? Like, can you just go onto a game page and, like, mark it up or down?
No, I don't believe so.
Yeah, because, like, I feel like at least if people are review bombing games, they've had to get the game.
They've had to purchase it.
Or they've got the game.
That's true.
Yeah, but I don't think it's useful.
No?
In a lot of circumstances. Well, it's like Venom just like came out in cinemas and it was panned by critics but absolutely adored by users. Like, you can check out the scores on, like, Rotten Tomato. Mm-hmm. It's got, like, a 30-something. And I adored it because I went in with a different frame of mind to the other people who were watching it, which meant that all of those, like, reviews about, oh, you know, it's not what I wanted out of a superhero film. It's the same with games. You can't really objectively mark art as good or bad. Like,
but surely in your example, you're actually pro-user or, like, user reviews then. Because if you're saying it's panned by critics and those reviews don't match your own thoughts, but the actual people, like the consumers who went to watch it actually quite loved it.
Yeah.
Then in that situation, a user review is quite beneficial because you say, you might go, well, the critics hated it, but look how much fun the actual audience had. Like, maybe there's something to this.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. But it's still so, like, subjective between different people that you can just get wildly different ones.
I agree. I actually think, and that's a big positive for critical reviews and media reviews, because for me, when I look at reviews, I go to these places I trust. I go, hey, this person, this specific writer from this specific outlet, their ideals have matched mine on so many instances. We agree on so many things that I can trust them.
Yeah.
Like, this person and me, we gel. Like, if they say this game is terrible, you know what? I'm going to agree.
Yeah.
User reviews, because there are so many.
And you don't know
and
these
you don't
people.
Know who these people are. I have no connection to them. I don't know if what I'm experiencing is what they're experiencing. Because let's face it, somebody could jump into a game and find technical issues. Maybe their game crashes or something. Maybe they don't have the hardware to properly support it. Yeah. And so they jump on and go, this is terrible. I can't even launch my game. Whereas that's not an issue for me. So I'll jump on. The game launches fine.
Yeah.
And here are all these negative reviews saying, terrible, terrible, don't buy. But well, I have a complete opposite experience.
That happened to Hellblade. There was a pretty prominent YouTuber who reviewed it. And he encountered, like, a game-breaking bug in it. And he had this whole big... He gave it, like, a score of 1. He was so angry about this one bug.
Mm.
And he retracted it later because he was like, I was just really frustrated. Like, reviewing games can sometimes, like, get into your head. But a bunch of people afterwards were like, well, I trust this guy and I like this guy. So I'm not going to go buy the game because he gave it such a low mark.
Mm.
And, like, for games that come out of, like, indie studios like Hellblade, that can be devastating.
Yeah, and I guess in that situation, you're just kind of hoping that these people who watch the review are also watching close enough to see the follow-up where the guy was like, well, actually, maybe I made a mistake kind of thing. Hopefully that happened, because Hellblade, worth playing for the record.
Yes, very much so. But it does just come down to, like, just doing a bit of research on your own. If you're looking into buying a game and you look into user reviews, take a little extra time to, like, look through, like, some general reviews of it, like some critic ones.
That's true. I mean, it's up to you, right? I think there are definitely people out there who are probably thinking, I don't like reviews. Mm. Like, I will watch a trailer for a game, I'll think to myself, hey, that looks like my kind of jam, and I want to make my own opinion.
Yeah.
Like, screw everybody else kind of thing, and that's 100% valid. Then there are other consumers who will be like, well, I can only purchase one game this month because that's what my budget allows for. Mm. I want to make sure I get the best bang for my buck. I want to make sure that what game I'm playing is going to be phenomenal, is going to be the best I can. And for those people, maybe doing that research and looking at critic reviews and looking at user reviews is really helpful. So some sites, I mentioned it earlier, Metacritic will have the critic review and the score, and then it'll have the user review and their score.
Yeah.
And having both of those points of information can be super helpful.
Yeah, I always find, because I'm a horror buff, I'm always slightly skeptical of both user and critic reviews when it comes to horror, because I like a very particular psychological type of horror.
Mm-hmm.
And those almost always get a bad, like, score with users, because there will be people who just sit down to it and, like, I'm going to watch a gory film, and it's just, it's never going to be like that. So, like, it depends on what you like, and it depends on if you particularly care what other people think.
Sure, of course, yeah.
'Cause, like I said, if I encounter a game that it's like, oh, like with Wolfenstein, There were all of these ones like, can't recommend this game. It's got this leftist, like, queer agenda. And I was like, tick, that's for me.
Yeah, sounds good.
That's what I want. So it can backfire on the person who is giving the review. They might just inspire me to go, you know, spend more money on my leftist agenda. But yeah, they're just so subjective to the person.
And I think that's it. It's so hit and miss, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know that there's ever going to be a perfect way to handle user reviews.
No.
Because it is. So, like, as soon as you put something out to the internet, you can't control it.
Yeah.
The internet has a way to make anything its bitch. It will find a way to meld it into its own form, and people will abuse it, and people will exploit it, and yeah.
And you'll never make everyone happy, so.
And you shouldn't try to.
No, that's, especially not in games, that's never gonna work.
Yeah, like, you know, find your niche.
Yeah.
So, user reviews can be good, can definitely be bad.
Yeah.
But props to Beat Saber for pulling in the number 7 spot. This is according to the Steam charts. And let's be honest, these things can change pretty quickly, I assume, as more reviews come in and stuff like that.
Yeah.
For anyone interested, apparently Portal 2 is the highest rated game on Steam.
Yeah, and then Factorio, which I'm not particularly surprised by. Yeah,
It's got such a dedicated fan base too, so that's why I'm not surprised either. The kind of people who play that would love it.
Yeah,
so,
and also love to go and give reviews on it. Very, like, detail-oriented fan base, that one.
For sure.
And then Iron Snout, which I don't know what that is.
No, there is a free game not on the number 3 spot called Iron Snout. We're looking at the full list now. It looks kind of silly, and because it's free, I think I might have to check it out.
Yeah.
But also because it's free, maybe that's why people are less likely to give the down thumb, right? Because it's like, well, this game is free.
People love downvoting free games, though.
It's true. It must stand out.
Yeah, exactly.
It might be that piggy goodness.
Ooh.
Anyway, that's all the time we have. We've been talking about user reviews and Beat Saber, as well as a few other choice examples of games. So, Sav, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
My name has been Elliot, and make sure you tune in next week because there will be more Intimates coming your way.